This is Fairhope Hospice Presents, sponsored by Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care and the Pickering House, serving Fairfield, Hocking, Perry, and Athens counties. Now, here's Denise Bauer.
Welcome to our program today. We have Rick Schneider, our Community Education Coordinator, with us. Welcome, Rick.
Good to be here. I always learn a lot on this show.
I do. Yeah, we learn a lot every day, don't we?
Absolutely. It never stops.
So, we've just been so busy. There are so many things coming up. We just had a meeting today and talked about all the things that we're doing in October and November. And
you know, that was an incredible meeting. We have a marketing meeting on Monday where we discuss our public outreach and professional outreach, you know, to what we do and where we go. And that was an hour and a half of one person doing the next person. It just never quit.
I know. It's amazing the things we're involved with.
We do everything we can to let doctors know, what facilities know, and let the public know exactly what we do and how we can help them.
Yes.
You know, a lot.
Yeah, and we talked just about even the basics, how there's oftentimes you'll be speaking to a group and, you know, people really have a lot of basic questions about what Fairhope can do.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I've learned when I speak to a group, I used to come in and tell them what hospice does, and then I'd ask for questions afterwards. And I reverse it now. When I begin a presentation, I ask, does anybody have any questions about hospice? And they're kind of stumbling around, and I say, I'll bet you think we kill people, don't you? And I see about five or six people kind of start smiling and looking down because they've heard that you go to hospice and you die. I said, well, if we kill people, how do we make the money? You know, nobody has an answer for that because, you know, what are we, the hair for locks or something? I said, what we do is we get paid per diem. We get money per day for every day that somebody's on service. So the longer that they live on service, the more money we make. We want people to live and celebrate life. And then the discussion begins, and then they start asking questions, and it really is interesting what people want to know about hospice. You know, one of the things that's standard is cancer. At one time, yes, we were prevalently focusing on cancer in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I remember when I first started with our hospice, almost every patient had cancer.
Absolutely.
And then over the course of the years, they've changed it and allowed non-cancer diagnoses. So just about any disease will qualify mm-hmm. for Fairhope Hospice. I mean, any disease will have an end to it for
Absolutely.
The most part. I mean, lung disease, heart diseases, mm-hmm. you know, dementia. Neuromuscular disorders like Guillain-Barré and mm-hmm. ALS, stuff like that. But they all, you know, we've had people that have had end-stage liver problems, just you name it. Sometimes it's even hard to figure out what might be causing someone to decline. But our doctors work with the physicians, and we get it all figured out.
Yeah, my mom had at one time was called failure to thrive. She must have had 50 things wrong with her. Mainly her heart was bad, but she also had problems with other organs and things like that. So the heart became the primary illness. But she had quite a few illnesses at her age. I mean, she just the way it was.
So now I'd say about less than 50%, closer to about 48% of mm-hmm. our patients have cancer. So we still have a lot, but still definitely not the majority. I mean,
no,
really.
And they talk about Alzheimer's, dementia, kind of in one sentence there, slightly different. But there is what they call the FAST scale, F-A-S-T. And once somebody gets to a level 7, that indicates they have maybe 6 months or less. You know, for hospice to become involved, a person has to have 6 months or less of life expectancy if the disease follows its normal course. And medical profession, if they can't cure it, at least they know how it's going to progress now. So they can usually estimate 6 months or less. Sometimes they live longer, and we just reinstate. We have what we call a face-to-face. Our doctor will go to them and talk to them and evaluate the situation, and they can be recertified to extend for another period of time.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we often, you know, talk to people about, and we, Rick and I discuss this, is really where does our name come from? Mm-hmm. Fairhope.
Yeah, people think, well, you give us hope. Well, you know, we do give you hope for a good last stage in life, but the name Fair for Fairfield, our county that we serve, HO is for Hocking County, and PE is for Perry County. And when you look at our name, the F, the H, and the P are capitalized. And that indicates the three counties that we serve. So, and we aren't restricted to those counties politically. We can go as far as we want. We can go, and we have gone into Licking County, Franklin County. We've been in Pickaway County, Meigs County. As long as we can get there, our nurses live throughout our coverage area, and as long as our nurses can get there within a reasonable amount of time, 20 minutes, a half hour, we'll accept somebody on service. So,
absolutely.
But yeah, that's where our name comes from, Fair Hope. And you know, I looked up on the internet, and there's one city in Alabama named Fair Hope, and that was the only Fair Hope anything that showed
up.
Wow,
that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, so Fair Hope, Alabama, rock on.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a very unique name, so we're very easily identified with who we are and where we are.
Absolutely. So. And you know, one of the other things that we often talk about, like you said, is where we serve, but what age do we serve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. People perceive us as taking care of only older folks, but probably a good percentage of our people, and regretfully, too many of them are in the 50 to 60 age group. You know, they are getting better at diagnosing. People are understanding better what we do, and rather than try to futilely prolong life, they understand that hospice will help. And we encourage everybody to pursue the curative measures until it gets to the point where, when is enough enough? Is it not being curative anymore? You know,
right.
And that's a very, very tough question.
Right.
At what time do you say, okay, we cannot cure this, let's comfort?
And we take care of people with, you know, we don't really discriminate age, what, you know, maybe someone's religious preferences are. We meet people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
We do have chaplains, but sometimes they don't even talk about religion with people. It just depends on what the what our patients and families need.
And sometimes our chaplains work with the pastor. Some of the pastors, especially if it's a church member that's been in the congregation for 20, 30 years, the pastor is so close to the member, they don't know exactly what to say. And our chaplains can help the pastor, the clergy, work with their own congregation.
Right.
And it's and we do have young people on. We have had young people on service, and we work with Children's Hospital, you know, to help them along. So
absolutely, we work, you know, close partnership with them when we, you know, have someone that's, you know, younger,
mm-hmm.
that's on, you know, Fair Hope. But one of the things, you know, that is always so nice is that we just help people with, you know, the team that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems to take the pressure off to know that they have a nurse. We have doctors, you know, if needed. We have our social workers, our aides, our volunteers. You know, we just have a huge staff of people that can go in the homes as needed.
Mm-hmm.
We at least see everybody every week, but, you know, we have other people that can visit as needed just to kind of, you know, help the patient to be more comfortable, live a more healthy life, and then to really provide that care for the families.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and people look at us as an extension of the medical community, which in some manners we are, but when you call us, we come to you.
Right.
If you're calling anybody in the medical field, they'll say, well, can you come to the office next Tuesday or at some time, at some date? When you call us, when can we come over or where can you meet you? And we don't work just from 8 to 4. Sometimes if somebody works during the day, we can meet them in the evening. Sometimes if it's somewhat of a crisis situation, we can meet them on weekends.
Yeah.
And so we really aren't restricted to office hours. We aren't restricted to political boundaries. You know, the edge of a county will go wherever needed if it makes sense. And we offer free service. And people always think that's a trick. But like I said earlier, we are paid through Medicare or through insurance companies on a per-day basis.
Right. And, you know, as we talk about the reimbursement, we often take care of people even that have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have so many co-pays with insurance, they can't afford that. So we are very charitable.
Mm-hmm.
We are always going to try to bill insurance if we can.
Oh, sure.
But there's times where people just don't have anything, and we're here to take care of them as well.
And we do have fundraisers, and those fundraisers, the money is well spent. That's what we use it for, to help people who can't pay.
Right.
You know, it goes to patient care. Any money generated through fundraisers go to patient care or maintaining the Pickering House for the patients. So it's
absolutely,
we're 100% patient focused. You know,
absolutely.
And a lot of people will, in their will or whatever, donate money to us. But we have like the Rod and Custom Clubs in the summer will do something. We have a cookie walk coming up in December, first week in December. We make money from that. We have the Trash to Treasure in the summer. So we have a lot of fundraisers. We have a 5K coming up in April, next April, down in Hocking County.
And if you think, we give like $300,000 a year in care that's not reimbursed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that, every fundraiser is important. But,
oh, absolutely.
You know, certainly the donations that we get help us a lot with that. People donate money in honor of their loved one often. And, you know, we really couldn't do what we do without that. That really helps us. And we appreciate the community and their generosity because... you know, we want to be able to provide this mission and to continue to carry on the way we have all these years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we buy just a little things like Tylenol, something we don't really necessarily have to. We pay for everything related to the terminal illness, but we will go that little extra bit and help with little Tylenol. And sometimes we've gone to the restaurant and picked up a little snack for somebody if the patient has a favorite food, you know. And the nurse happens to find out about it, she'll go buy a banana split or something.
But it's those incidental sometimes, like the Chucks and the Depends and, you know, things like that that can really add up. So we try to help with whatever we can. But we do have a lot more to talk about. We are going to be involved with the Fairfield County Fair.
Oh, yeah. Big doings.
We'll have two booths there.
Oh, yeah.
We just finished the Hocking County Fair. So I think that's probably one of the most visible things we do. In the beginning of October, the Lancaster Fairfield Chamber also has the business event at the Eagles. The first Tuesday we'll be there. So we're out and about.
And it's interesting at those events, people come up and say, thanks for service we've provided even years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know where to go, who to say what, and they see us at the fair and they come over and say hi.
Well, Rick Schneider, I want to thank you for sharing some information with us this morning.
See, I learned already.
I know, and I want to thank you for listening. We're going to take a short break.